Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast for Week 2, 2018 season. Buccaneers versus the Eagles with Ralph Phillips and
Molly Bay.
First thing I'd like to cover is some mistakes I made in the last podcast. The Saints did get the score and lead us for the first part of the first quarter. I think they scored 10 points. I know they scored 7 before we got on the board. So that is the only time that an opponent has led us so far this season. I know it's only 2 games in, but to me that's a big indicator of how good a team is how long they keep a lead.
I didn't know that. I didn't even realize that they had led us at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought that we had led the whole game, but we did. But we did during the Eagles game, so there's that. And they're the Super Bowl champion, so there's that double.
Yeah. This was a hot game, wasn't it?
I think so. They showed the temperature on the field was 102, but it didn't look that hot out there. I mean, the guys weren't sweating. I don't know if it was evaporating so much or anything.
Maybe they're just so used to it. Our team, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think Philadelphia is. Anyhow, on to the Philadelphia game.
We looked pretty good. The defense was a little concerning. We had so many injuries.
Yeah, especially in the secondary. I think that's where all of our injuries were at.
Right. I mean, the guys who came in did well, but...
Yeah, I like that Whitehead. He was entertaining to watch.
Definitely showed up.
Yeah, he was playing hard.
Noah Spence was inactive for the game.
Yeah, that was shocking.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. Haven't quite figured it out. I just think the coaches just aren't happy with his play. Like I said, he played the whole fourth preseason game, which is rare for somebody of his caliber, a starter. Usually, you know, those are the third stringers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was out there the whole game, so that doesn't bode well for his future.
Dirk Koetter did comment on it in a press conference. He was asked about it, and his take was just, you know, you can only put 46 guys, have them active for a game, so he just didn't make the cut. And with him not playing special teams, it was, you know, he doesn't have that... he doesn't add that to the team, so he was inactive. That played into their decision.
Well, I could say this about Koetter. He's definitely changed as a head coach with his press conferences. He does not seem to like to press anymore, that's for sure.
No, he has kind of an attitude, kind of like Lovey did a little bit, where he's just annoyed by everything.
Yeah, well, I can't blame him. Press is pretty critical. It seems like that's pretty much all they do is look for bad stuff and then amplify it. So Koetter seems like he doesn't want to give them any information, which I don't blame him. So the whole Spence thing, I wouldn't take what he says to the press as anything other than just him talking BS. So I think there's more there. I think something's going on. It's all speculation.
I guess we'll find out eventually.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
All these dang stories and stuff, like Freeman. Did we ever hear about Freeman's drug problem from anybody? No. I think the Pewter Report kind of touched on it 5-6 years after the fact, but, you know, it was plain and obvious the guy had some serious issues going on, but so far we haven't heard anything.
Right.
That whole 2011 football team, we've talked about that before, but they... there's a lot of stories I'd like to hear from that. I don't think we ever will, though. Maybe one day somebody will write a book. Who knows?
So the D-line had a lot of chemistry this time. We got some pressure.
Yeah, I don't think the defensive line is getting as much kudos as they should. I think they've done well. They've gone up against 2 very good offensive line, and they've gotten a lot of pressures. I mean, I think we're in the top 5 or top 10 for quarterback hits and pressures. We're about middle of the pack for sacks, I think, but they're doing very well.
JPP, he was injured during the Eagles game. Injury report, today's Friday. It hasn't come out as of the time of recording this podcast. He was on Thursday's injury report, and he didn't practice, I think. So I think that I read that he came back to practice on Friday. I don't know. I hope that's the case, and especially with this playing a Monday night game, hopefully that'll give him enough time to work up to being able to play on Monday. He'll definitely be an asset there against Big Ben, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, I really want JPP back. He's been very beneficial to our defensive line, and it seems like our team in general. One thing I noticed is that the defense especially has got really good chemistry. They seem to enjoy playing with each other. Mm-hmm. The one thing I've noticed is that they've been celebrating after big plays in a coordinated fashion. I noticed that with the Saints. They got a sack or something, I can't remember, early on in the game, and they formed a circle and did a little dance. And surprisingly, this is what really surprises me, and one of the reasons why I think JPP has been such an asset to this team, is Gerald McCoy was the first one to form the circle. He was right there, and he's been that way ever since this season so far. You know, normally he's off to the side. He doesn't get involved in celebrations. He doesn't congratulate people. I mean, every now and then he'll give Levante David a high five and all this, but he's getting right in the mix of all these celebrations, and it seems like he's instigating quite a few of them. So that's fantastic. It's something I've always wanted to see from McCoy. That's leadership.
Now, Ralph, I know you're not on Instagram, but for any of our listeners that are, and if you follow the Buccaneers, they had a little clip of JPP and McCoy together doing their little dance, and it was cute. It was got some attention, so it was good to see.
There's no cute in football, Molly.
All right, moving on. What do we have next? Conte injured during the game, which I know a lot of fans weren't too upset about that. I think he gets kind of a bad rap. We also met him, which he was just an angel. If you've never seen him in person, I would highly recommend it. I mean, Ralph even fell in love with him, so.
Yeah, beautiful man. His eyes were just piercing. We call him our pirate angel.
Built like a Greek god.
Yeah, whatever.
Ralph wanted to ask him on a date, but.
Whatever.
All right, so the offense. What about the offense in the Philly game? What'd you think?
Well, I've got O.J. Howard on my fantasy football team, so I'm happy with that.
And I get Fitzmagic, so I'm hoping that keeps it up.
I'm not even going to tell the story about your quarterback drafting.
Well, I prefer you to know. O.J. Howard, so Ralph and I were a little concerned watching him in the preseason. I don't know how many of you watch. Or took note, but he had quite a few drops. I don't know that he even made any catches in the preseason. He may have.
Yeah, he did when Jameis Winston came in. Remember, he can't catch a ball from Fitzpatrick, but he can catch them from Jameis.
Right, so we were kind of thinking, like, oh, maybe he's Team Winston, and he's kind of pissy about whole thing. Yeah, I mean,
it's
you don't really
fun
know,
to
but
read into stuff like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, we were wrong.
Oh, we were very wrong. So
yeah, that 75-yard touchdown pass that I think 70 yards of it was him. I mean, he just ran. I don't think I've ever seen a tight end run that fast. He outran their damn secondary, and then you had Godwin blocking. Godwin really helped him in that play because he would have got tackled at the 25-yard line if Godwin wouldn't have kept his man tied up in a block. So,
but OJ's so big.
Oh yeah,
like,
he's huge.
It would take like a lineman to get him down.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Well
proportioned too.
Yeah. So the talk of the week is Fitzmagic's press conference after the game with Deshaun Jackson's get up on him, and if you haven't watched that, it's hilarious. So.
Yeah, the funniest part to me was when Deshaun Jackson came in with no shirt on and Fitzpatrick was like, well, I can only take a couple more questions because Deshaun wants his clothes back.
My favorite part was when they asked whose clothes they were, and he said, they're Deshaun's, but the chest hair is all mine.
So. Yeah. Tell us. He does have some chest hair.
He's a hairy guy.
He's a hairy guy.
He's like a lumberjack, like a mountaineer.
Yeah. He went to Harvard. Did you know that?
You don't say. Did he play basketball too? So he was named NFC Player of the Week
twice
this week.
Second time in a row.
In a row.
Well, Offensive Player of the Week.
Okay.
I don't know about the NFC Player of the Week.
Right.
He got that?
Yeah, he did. This is the sixth time he's been named that, so that's good to hear. Kudos. Briefly today I watched a press conference with him and Jenna Lane was talking to him about, I guess there's a guy in Miami or wherever who's using Fitzmagic or something. She's asking him about the t-shirts, all these t-shirts circulating, and he just looked so annoyed by these mundane questions that had nothing to do with anything. He just, it was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think.
Why ask those stupid questions?
They do. They really do. But then again, you know, I think about that all the time. If I was a reporter, what questions would I ask? I'd probably ask stupid questions like, who's your favorite superhero?
But I mean, I think if you're into football, like you're into football, you want to talk football. You
right,
want to hear what they think about football.
I would have nothing. I don't care about their personal lives. I don't care about, you know, anything outside of football. I really don't care about t-shirts. I don't care.
Their feelings.
Their feelings. I definitely don't care about at all.
Controversies.
Those are the worst questions I hate. I hate those the most. You know, so how do you feel about blah, 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 blah? It's like, really, what kind of question is that?
And the sideline reporters are the worst about it, and especially between, like, when the players and coaches are going into the locker room at halftime, you'll always get the ones that stop the coaches and say, how do you feel
about
XYZ?
How do you feel about your offense's performance? It's like, what? I wish we could score more points. That's how I feel.
Right.
You know? Every coach would say that. I think they do. And they do have candy, even if Fitzpatrick, when you saw him in his press conference with the DeSean Jackson gear on, he, besides the fact that he looked like Conor McGregor, he didn't speak like Conor McGregor. He spoke very
polished.
Yeah, he had the responses that everybody says. You know, I hate that. I really do. I miss the days of football where guys got up there and were just themselves and not focus grouped.
This has nothing to do with the game. I wrote it down, and I'm not sure how it applies. And the point with this was, it was in Cutter's press conference. He talked about it. People were asking him about the chemistry on the team. And he said they did a lot of work in OTAs and training camp, and they actually had the players get in small groups and talk in front of each other and then get, you know, talk in front of the whole team. And so he thought that did a lot for team building. Just a little blurb here. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Philly game, but I just thought it was interesting to hear.
Well, it's good stuff to know. That's what we're here for, to give you the juicy stuff.
So, week 3 against Pittsburgh, I am especially excited about this. I was born in Ravens country, so from a young age, I was instilled a deep disdain for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think everybody is born with a deep disdain for Pittsburgh Steelers.
But the Ravens hate for the Steelers is a special kind of hate.
Yeah.
And we unfortunately live in an area with a lot of Steelers fans, which I think most people do live in areas with large Steelers fans because they're just everywhere and they're so obnoxious. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to embarrass them on a national stage. We'll see how this goes. They are used to the prime time and usually do quite well. Greg Allman reported on this today, which pissed me off because I spent time the other day trying
to... She had a whole sheet of stats here about the
Steelers.
Written
down on a scratch piece of paper, but Sunday Night Football, the Steelers, since 2006, are 21-12. So they've won 21.
On what?
Sunday Night Football.
Oh, Sunday Night Football?
So prime time.
Okay.
Is the point.
Gosh, that's a lot of primetime football.
I know. Well, they get about 3 a year, sometimes 2, but generally. And that's just Sunday night.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Monday Night Football, there were only stats on Wikipedia from 2010, so the last 7 years. But they're 7-2. So they're used to the national stage. They usually do pretty well. There's been some drama with them all year, but who knows how much of it is speculation. There's always been drama, and people are always asking, has Mike Tomlin lost the team? And it seems every time they ask that, they go to the playoffs, so.
Right. Well, they ask it every year, and they go to the playoffs every year, it seems like. Pittsburgh's a good team, but DeSean Jackson's no stranger to primetime too. I think he's up there in the top five with touchdowns during Monday Night Football.
Really?
Or something. Yeah, I mean he's got like 7 or 10 or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember. Active players. I think Jerry Rice has the most with like 45 or some ridiculous number. I mean, nobody's even half what he's got. So, but DeSean Jackson, yeah, he's a good primetime player. I expect him to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Pittsburgh, we can definitely beat them. We're a better team. This is my thoughts, my feelings. Now, mind you, I haven't watched any of the All-22 from Week 2. I've only seen the game 3 or 4 times in the condensed version. But we're a better team. Our offensive line is better. I'm going to say our quarterback's better, but you never know how Fitzpatrick's going to show up. Our wide receiving core, I think, is the best in the league. They've got a decent good wide receiver core, too. Bars is better. Our defense is better. We have better linebackers, better defensive line. As far as the safety and cornerbacks, we're probably matched up even on that. But there's no way they're going to be able to stop our offense. There's no way. It's just not possible. I mean, we watched them play against the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns, and they struggled. Was it the Cardinals?
The Chiefs. Another red team.
Right, the other red and white team. Yeah, they struggled. They struggled mightily. I think they lost against the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 24-0 in the first half or something.
Yeah,
the
points that they put up, I think, were courtesy points where the Chiefs were just kind of like, we've won this, so there's no point. We'll let these men preserve some dignity.
Yeah. Not me, man. I just pound it to them every time I got. But the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game, it was raining really hard there, so it was very difficult to tell if it was the weather that made it bad, but it looked like a sloppy game on both sides.
It was sloppy. There was a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes, turnovers, which you kind of expect when there's a lot of rain. The ball is slippery. Ball security is an issue. Both teams made plays, so it's hard to say how evenly they were matched. Was it the weather? For those of you that don't know, they ended up tying, went to overtime. I think it was 2 missed field goals, one by each team in overtime. So they both had the opportunity to win it and couldn't put it in. So
yeah, I think the key to our winning is going to be stopping Ben Roethlisberger. Now their running game, I think our linebackers are going to have to be on point. They're going to have to stop the run. And they're going to have to keep an eye on Roethlisberger because that is one wily dude in the pocket. He is so hard to get down on the ground.
And he makes plays
after him. That's when he's most dangerous. He's, you know, busted plays, broken plays are his specialty. So, you know, when we pressure him with our defensive line, they're going to have to be very cognizant of their gap responsibilities. They're not going to be able to. They're going to have to try. You know, I would say that the defensive ends, from what I've seen with Roethlisberger, the best way to get him is come around from behind and hit the ball.
Like, you know, kind of a pincher.
Yes, but from behind. Mm. You know, not from the sides. You got to get him where he can't see you coming. And we got to our defensive tackles, Gerald McCoy and Bo or whoever's going to be there. They're going to have to maintain a solid front. They can't have these big holes because he will run. And he'll run through the small holes, too. But they've got to be expecting him to come rushing through when our defensive ends come around. But our linebackers are really going to be the stars of the game. They're going to have to be very aware of the run, and they're going to have to watch Ben Roethlisberger. And they're going to have to keep an eye on Jesse James, the tight end. Those three things. Well, Roethlisberger throws a mean deep ball. He's got Antonio Brown. He's got Juju. You know, they're going to get some points down the field, but we got to be careful that we don't let them run over top of us with the tight end. And who's their running back? Connor?
I think so. Connors with an S.
Connors? Maybe. Okay. Who's doing just as good as Le'Veon Bell, just about. So, you know, I guess the offensive line was right when they said that they were the ones that did most of the work there.
Yeah. Fun fact, they removed Le'Veon Bell from the depth chart this week. The Steelers did.
Oof.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeesh.
It ain't looking good. I think they're both trying to make a statement.
Well, I don't understand his. Well, I won't get into all that.
Antonio Brown, there was some drama with him earlier in the week, but it seems like it sorted itself out. He got into it with the offensive coordinator on the sideline during Sunday's game against the Chiefs. It didn't look that bad
to
us.
No, it didn't. I think they blew that way out of proportion.
So maybe they just blew it up. He didn't show up to the facility on Monday, but the agent said it was a personal matter, and that's why he wasn't there. And I believe Tomlin corroborated that. So by Friday, it's fine. He's saying, I just get excited when we're losing. I just want to win, and so I get very passionate. And so that was the explanation for some of the conflict there. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. I think they're used to the sideshow.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to move on. And
yeah.
I mean, they're a dangerous team despite it, so.
Yeah, they'll always be a dangerous team.
The last time we played Pittsburgh was in 2014 with the giraffe, Mike Glennon. We won. We went 2-14 that year. One win against Pittsburgh under Lovie. This was at Heinz Field, too, so that was
fun.
Yeah,
that was a great game. It was a last-minute comeback, and Glennon played well. Threw a touchdown to, I want to say, Cameron Brait. Not sure. In the end zone with like 7 seconds left on the clock. It was a good game. I was happy we won. Wasn't happy about the season, but I was happy with that game.
That was a good game. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, the injury report, the latest one out is for Thursday. Their basically entire offensive line is on there. Marquise Pouncey, their center, that was a coach's decision. He didn't practice, but apparently that was like a Veterans Day. They gave like Veterans Day off, so there's probably nothing there. He's probably still
not the holiday Veterans Day.
Not the holiday Veterans Day. Exactly.
They gave him a Christmas Day.
But so, you know, that could bode well for our defensive line. If we're playing backups or their offensive line is a little banged up, that might help us defend against their run or make their run not quite as potent.
Yeah, their offensive line is geared to be run blockers. I think they're not horrible pass blockers, but that's not their forte.
So their right guard and right tackle, their starters didn't practice Thursday. Their left guard, he's injured, but he practiced Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. You never know. They're pretty much all basically banged up.
Yeah, so Joe Hyden's playing with Pittsburgh. Cornerback?
Yes.
He's not injured anymore. That sucks. He's a good cornerback.
Our injuries, big news today that Brent Grimes and Vita V returned to practice. Brent Grimes, full practice. Vita was limited, but at least he's practicing.
Yeah, we probably won't see him for another week or so, which is fine with me. What we got in there is doing well, so I mean, he might be good. Nobody knows because nobody's seen him play at all, preseason or the regular season. But he, you know, putting him in right now, we might put him in a rotation a little bit, give him 10 snaps or something, but I don't think we'll see a whole lot of him for at least a couple more weeks.
What was his injury?
Calf. Calf hurt.
Did he play in the preseason? He didn't play in
the
preseason.
No, did not play
right?
in the preseason.
So we haven't seen anything from him.
No, I think he might have played a few snaps in preseason game one. I can't remember, but
is that where he got injured?
I don't know. No, he got injured on the practice field.
Mm.
So I want to say we haven't seen him in preseason at all. Big guy. He's huge.
Is he?
Yeah. All right, well, that does it for this Week 3 podcast. We will come back with you after the Pittsburgh game Monday night at 8:20 on
Monday night, I think, is
it's not ESPN.
ESPN,
is it?
I think so.
And hopefully we'll have good news for you.
I'm optimistic. I think we got
I am too. Our offense is just so... And if we could get a running game going, which, you know, it's not absolutely horrible. It's just not potent right now. But if we could get a running game going, well, we'll be unstoppable. Mm. We're going to have scores 48-40 every week, probably.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Signing off from Bucks Observer, this is Ralph Phillips.
Molly Bay.
We'll see you next week.
Go Bucks!